Adam, what a start to the 2012 Eagles season. Welcome to the postgame show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. The Eagles go into Cleveland, and it wasn't always pretty, but a win is a win, and it's 17-16 victory for the Eagles. I'm Bo Wolf. This is Adam Kaplan, as you know. And this game, the Eagles down 6 points with about over 5 minutes to go, and they go on a 91-yard, 18-play drive, punched in by a touchdown pass there, 4 yards to Clay Harbor after a play after Michael Vick almost threw an interception in the end zone. But as ugly as this game was on offense for the Eagles, it's a win. We're 1-0, and we move forward.
Yeah, and I think the story of this game is perseverance. Michael Vick, tough game, 5 turnovers, 2 fumbles, 4 picks. Did lose, ball control bad, decision-making bad, but he hung in there. And at the bottom line is this: when he had to make a play at the end of the game, he did to Clay Harbor. But boy, he made it tough. Decision making bad, turn his body and face of pressure, and he shouldn't have. And the other problem that I had is unforced errors, decision making. You scratch your head, and you're like, what are they doing? And the other problem with the offense is, where was LeSean McCoy? At one point, 50 called pass plays, 19 called runs. The Browns could not stop LeSean McCoy today. I don't understand the play calling in the second half, especially, Bo, when your quarterback is struggling.
So here's the pass breakdown, if you want to look at it. 58 times Michael Vick, so plus 7. So 65 called pass plays for the Eagles on offense. Only 23 called run plays. Only 20 times did they give the ball to LeSean McCoy, who ran for 110 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. It's, he did go to the Pro Bowl and was an All-Pro last year. You would have thought that maybe they would have given him the ball more, but they didn't. They win anyway. The defense was outstanding today. They were going up against a Browns team that had a quarterback post a 5.1 quarterback rating in Braden Whedon. But as we talk about this game, let's reset this quickly. We're going to have Andy Reid live for you from Cleveland here on the postgame show presented by Rico. We're also going to have plenty of reaction from the players in the locker room. We're taking your phone calls, 215-339-6709. Got to find out how you feel about this Eagles team. We got to find out how you feel compared to before this game started as we head into next week's game, the home opener against the Baltimore Ravens. But let's talk about this defense, Adam, because that really was the star of the show here. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, 2 interceptions. Kurt Coleman, 2 interceptions. And they held Trent Richardson to 39 rushing yards on 19 carries. That's a 2.1 average. This defense, from the defensive line to the linebackers to the secondary, played outstanding today. A good start for them.
Yeah, and the linebackers read their keys, Bo. They cut off the backside runs, which Richardson loves. They run that zone like the Eagles do, and they did a great job. The Eagles were tremendous on defense. I mean, Whedon missed some throws where guys were open, not many of them. He missed probably a touchdown in the first quarter. But I thought the coverage was really, really tight the entire game. They took away the tight ends, Ben Watson and Jordan Cameron. They took away the screens to Trent Richardson. It's kind of like they knew what was going to happen before it happened. The defense was tremendous. You have to feel very good about Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who was tremendous in the preseason. He carried that play. And Nnamdi Asamoah was very inconsistent last season, all over the field today. As you mentioned, when we were in between quarters, the hustle play was huge. Obviously saved a potential touchdown. They did a great job on Josh Gordon, who beat them a little bit in the third preseason game. Overall, the Eagles' defense was phenomenal today.
And you look at this defense, they were given a bad situation by the offense. The offense turned the ball over 5 times, so oftentimes the defense was going up against a short field. And listen, remember, 2 years ago, they were dead last in the league in red zone defense. Last year, 30th in red zone defense. Today, 2 shutouts in the red zone, 0 for 2, and then there was another one where the Browns had the ball just outside the red zone early on, forced another field goal. They buckled down in the red zone. The only thing that was missing, really, was a ton of sacks.
That's right.
But that's all right. They got plenty of pressure, and the back 7 was outstanding.
You just hit on it. It's a great sign, and I mentioned this in the first half. If I would have told you the Eagles would not have a sack and they would play great defense, you probably would be surprised. And
They had two sacks.
It overall. But in the first half, really, very little pressure. But the thing is, the back end held up so well. No one gave up a lot of spacing. That's huge with receivers and cornerbacks. They did a great job. Discipline, and the other thing was, Bo, the tackling was tremendous. 121 missed tackles last season. Eagles today, tremendous with the tackling.
All right, so we will wait. Andy Reid going to the press conference. He's going to be asked about Michael Vick for sure, because Michael Vick did not have a good game. 29 of 56 for 317 yards, yes, and 2 touchdowns, but also 4 interceptions. And really, Three of the four interceptions were just really bad decisions. He almost threw an interception at the end of the game that would have lost the game for the Eagles. I don't know why they're not running the ball when it's first and goal from the four-yard line. But, Michael Vick, listen, is this something we should really be worried about? Because, yeah, there was a lot of pressure. The offensive line didn't do a good job. But if Michael Vick keeps playing like this and keeps being this reckless with the football, we're going to get calls about Nick Foles, I guarantee it.
And we should get calls about Nick Foles, because the bottom line is Vick cannot play like this against better football teams. You think this is going to work against the Ravens? I don't think so. And I think as a head coach, Andy's got to look at it. And Vick, well, the one thing I like about Vick is he'll own up to this. He had a bad game. I don't care if you're the biggest Vick fan in the world. He had a bad game. Bad decision making. Yes, in the first half, the offensive line, Bo, struggled a little bit. But when Vick had time, you don't know where he was going with the football. But the thing that I did like today about Vick was willing to stand in the pocket and hang in there. Yes, he got battered. He easily got hit double-digit times in this game. But he didn't break the pocket, and he didn't run. I like that. Willing to make plays. But the problem is not processing information quickly enough. And there were plays there to be made, I can tell you. Brent Celek was open quite a bit this game.
Yeah, let's learn down the Eagles receivers here. Jeremy Maclin, a good day for him. 7 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown. Also left the game early with a hip injury, then left the game in the second half to get an IV. Also had 2 penalties called on him, so it was an eventful day for Maclin, but productive as a receiver. LeSean McCoy, 6 catches for 26 yards. DeSean Jackson, 4 for 77. He looked good. He was just blanketed by Joe Hayden throughout the game. He still played well. 4 catches for 65 for Celek. 4 for 27 for Avant, and 3 for 16 for Harbor, including the game-winning touchdown pass. A good sign for Harbor, I thought.
Yeah, and Clay Harbor continuing what he did in the preseason. He had a really good preseason, very good training camp. And, you know, the other thing that it's got to get cleaned up, and we like the offense, but the penalties on the offensive line, just awful today. You know, killers with LeSean McCoy. How many good runs did he have called back, Bo?
A ton. He had over 60 yards of production in receiving and running called back for penalties. 5 turnovers for the Eagles on offense, 12 penalties for 110 yards combined offense defense, and that's not including at least 2 or 3 penalties that were declined by the Browns. That is way too sloppy, and that's what the preseason's for, is to get that out of the way. They can't be this sloppy moving forward and expect to win.
And I'm sick and tired of hearing the fans complain about the refs. The refs had nothing to do with this.
Well,
did they miss a couple calls? Sure. But are you going to tell me those holding calls are not consistent?
Some of them were, I mean... You know, Jeremy Maclin gets called for a pick play in the first quarter, then they don't call one on the Browns. There's a lot of...
Bo. You don't have to... Let me ask you a question. How many times did the Eagles have bad penalties in the preseason?
Of course. Far be it from me to blame these 12 penalties on anybody but the Eagles themselves, but the refs were okay. They were okay.
I would say they were
also,
okay, but...
I am wondering this question because we talked about this. Isn't there a new rule this year that if you challenge an unchallengeable play, that's a 15-yard penalty? Because that's what happened, it seemed like, with Pat Shurmur Michael Vick fumble.
Inside 2 minutes, right. And Mike Pereira, the former director of officials who works with Fox, actually didn't talk about that. But and funny, we didn't even talk about the fact that Vick, I mean, listen, that was a big-time play to not turn the ball over. He was actually able to recover that fumble. I don't know how he did it because it looked like Billy Wynn got it, but the play was called dead. But Vick showed big-time toughness there. He got popped. He got popped and somehow got the ball back, and he stood in there. I don't know if anyone was charting that. I'd love to know.
We got to go to Andy Reid now. Andy Reid at the podium. Eagles 1-0,
17-16. All right, as far as injuries go, Marsh with a hamstring, and we'll just, we'll see how he does. Listen, every game that you can win in the National Football League is a good game. So, my hat's off to Pat and the Cleveland Browns. I thought they played a heck of a game. Obviously, the turnovers on our part were too much, along with the penalty. So we've got to take care of that. You know, Mike got in and he had a few turnovers. The key was at the end there, he drove us down the field and we won the game. So, I'll take the win. We've got plenty of things to work on, and that's what we're going to do. Time's yours.
How much did Sean McCoy find in terms of calm down, settle down?
Yeah, well, you know what? We probably could have done a little bit more of that early. We had a couple fumbles in that early and got away from it. But I thought, as it's all said and done, we probably could have run a little bit more early.
Why didn't you run early more in?
Well, we thought we saw some things there for the pass game, so. They're giving us some coverages that we thought we could take advantage. We hit the one before the half, and we thought we'd come back and get them again here. But
And how much do you think Michael not really having a preseason played into his ineffectiveness?
I thought he was rusty. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm stating the obvious, but I thought he was rusty, and I thought it was important that he get back in the swing and work his way through it. And he did. He kept competing. He kept shooting, which you've got to do, and came up on the positive side of it.
Did Gross remind ever to bring in
Cole? I thought he had to work through it. I mean, you know, he's our quarterback, so you got to do that. And the game's fast, and it picks up even off of the preseason. He didn't have any preseason, so it's a fast game. So this was an important game for him to get in and play and endure and toughen it out, which he did. I mean, that's what you saw. If you take a positive out of this, you saw good defense. And you saw a tough football team, you know, that hung in there and trusted each other. Nobody pointed fingers and came up on the positive side of things.
Speaking of endurance, did he take the kind of hits he took today and last?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. He's coming out of this one healthy. So we'll take one at a time here and see how it works out.
And your offensive line struggled early on, but it seemed like maybe they got a little adjustment.
Well, we had the penalties. That's what we had. We had the holding calls early. And, you know, I thought we settled down a little bit the second half. But it was just a matter of making sure you're moving your feet after you make contact. So. And their defensive line, that's a strength of one of the strengths of their football team. So, you know, it's a good defensive line, and you gotta use your technique properly.
Can you talk about the day Jeremy Maclin had? He seemed to get injured. You know, had a touchdown pass. He had a big bomb. You know, was he particularly resilient today? I mean, how important was he to you?
Yeah, he did. He got banged up a little bit. I mean, you know, nothing where he couldn't come back, and he toughened it up, and he's gonna be sore tomorrow. Real sore, so, but he toughened it up and made it through.
And your offense obviously had their struggles here. Can you talk about the way the whole thing stuck together on that last drive? I think it was 91 yards on that scoring drive.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, the positive parts from my side were, like I said, I thought the defense played very well. And then I thought the offense, they hung together throughout, and it was all positive energy going on there. Hey, we just need to get this done or this done or this, and then they you know, they gelled at the end there and put it together. The other positive of that was the defense was right there saying, hey, here we go. And then when it flopped over and the defense had that opportunity to stop him at the end there, you know, the offense was all in. So nobody was hanging their head. Everybody was keeping it positive and working. So you can build with that. You can build with that attitude. And that's what we've got to do. I mean, we got a lot of things we got to take care of here.
When you're facing a rookie quarterback like Whedon, who's obviously struggling, how much do you credit your defense for the performance, or how much do you kind of attribute it to that, to Whedon's struggles?
Well, listen, I mean, you know, it'd be like writing a good article and putting a comma in the wrong spot. I mean, I think he did. I think it's still a good article. I think the defense played well. Give him credit.
How about D'Amico in particular, his first game as an Eagle? Looked like he was in almost for every snap and had a pretty big impact.
Yeah, D'Amico did. You know, he did a nice job, and he played in all three downs, and he hasn't done that for a few years, and so the other guys were ready to go, and you know, I thought he made big play after big play, and you know, that's what he is. I mean, that's what he's done throughout his career. He's healthy. He came out of camp healthy. He was able to get his legs back, and you know, and the young guys spotted him during the week, and they were ready to go if, you know, if he got tired where he felt like he had to sneak out of there for a play or two. They were ready to go.
Andy, talk about big plays. You don't win many games where you give up 16 points off of turnovers and get none. Do you think you kind of stole one here with a couple of big plays?
Well, I'll tell you, we did enough negative things to where, you know, it's tough to win a game. But we kept battling, and good things happened. So, you know, there are going to be games like this in this league that are close. There's way too much parity in this league to say teams, you know, this team's not good and this team's, and so on. So it's you know, you're gonna have games like this. You got to battle through and have the intestinal fortitude enough to keep fighting, and they did that.
Late in the game, you went over and sort of patted Dominic Rogers-Cromartie on the helmet. It looked like he was maybe fighting a stinger or something, but again, went back in the game and stayed in.
Yeah, well, he went back in on the punt for the punt return, and I was getting him out of there, so he could just shake that thing off. He's got those shoulders and sometimes act up on him, so he's able to kind of get it back right.
He made a couple big plays for you, too. Can you talk about his sort of...
He made a lot of big plays in there. I thought he did a nice job. I thought Nam did a nice job, too, but Dominique had a couple of the turnovers there, and I thought he played well. Yeah.
Andy, on that final drive, did you guys do anything differently, or was, you know, this is who we are, this is what we do, let's keep doing it, and it should work?
Yeah, you know, we eliminated the mistakes, really. When you have penalties in a drive, the chances of you maintaining that drive as a scoring drive are slim. And so you accumulate this many penalties, and it's tough to win football games. So we eliminated the mistakes. We came in at halftime. We had a ton of yards, but we had not a lot of points. So you get rid of the penalties, and you can do some things that are productive, and you can score points. You have all those penalties, and it's going to negate a lot of opportunities to score.
What can you do to protect Michael better? I mean, he this is an awful lot of hits he took today.
Yeah, well, listen, it's collective. It's everybody doing their job, you know, better. And you know, I thought Dick Duran called a heck of a game. I thought he really did. I thought he was able to really dial up some good things, I thought, today. So, and he got a few shots on Michael. So we've got there's some things we can do better. We just got to go back and work on.
Two more guys.
All right.
Could you talk about the job that you did against Cribs?
Well, listen, you're talking about one of the best in the business. So he had a few good, a couple good returns there. But we were able to, he's a big old kid and tough to bring down. So our guys moved their target down a little bit instead of taking him on up high where he breaks a lot of tackles, getting down in his legs where you have a better chance of getting him down. And most of all, we were flying down the field, which you've got to do, and it starts with that.
In a similar vein, your run defense was particularly effective. What's the difference?
Well, I tell you, another one of their strengths is their offensive line. They're a good run team, and they've got a heck of a running back there. So, I thought Juan dialed it up right. I thought our guys got up in there and played well at the line of scrimmage. I mean, the D line and the linebackers, I just thought, really controlled things the right way up there and made it tough to run on.
Okay, thanks, guys. I think they have it here later. Yeah.
From head coach Andy Reid, a hamstring injury for Curtis Marsh, and he says that at no point did he consider bringing in Nick Foles there, even after Michael Vick threw his fourth interception. He said Michael Vick needed to work through it. He was shaking off a little bit of the rust from not having played really much at all in the preseason. But still, and this is important. Last year in 2011, the Eagles plagued by injuries and by penalties and turnovers. In this game, again, penalties and turnovers, just like 2011. And yet, this is a game that they would have lost in 2011. They win the game this year. It's not pretty, but a win is a win.
That's right.
And it's better to have won than to have lost.
No, no question about it. And the Eagles have this tape. They've got a lot to go through, a lot to correct, as Andy Reid said. And I think... you talked about this is a game they would have lost last year. Yeah, you know why? Because I think the defense probably wouldn't have held their own, and especially in the red zone. The defense today was tremendous. I mean, what more can you say? Discipline, tackling tremendous, coverage very, very good. Red zone defense very, very good. The defense bailed out the offense today. Let's be honest about it. The offense absolutely put them in a bad position. The other thing, a little concerned about the kickoff coverage. Josh Cribs, I know, is great. Had a couple really good returns there. That's got to be straightened out. And the Eagles' kickoff coverage for the last couple of years under Bobby April has been tremendous. Today was not so good. So a couple of things to clean up. But on offense, they are way out of sorts. And there's no question that the rustiness that Michael Vick had in the preseason carried over
and
today.
We talked about this in the pregame show and in the halftime show. If the Eagles' offense can just get out of their own way, they're going to score points. They had 456 yards of total offense compared to 210 for the Browns. That's more than double, and yet the game was a one-point game because they turned the ball over five times and they had 12 penalties on offense. Let's go to our first phone call of the post-game show here presented by Rico. Skyler in D.C. kicks it off as we await Michael Vick's appearance at the podium. Skyler, first of all, how are you?
Oh, man, I don't know how to feel, dude, because this was one of the ugliest wins I've ever seen.
Are you alive? Has your heart rate come down?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. After seeing us finally pull the win over, finally, actually got a drive going in the last quarter there, I was happy. But still, I definitely agree with you, though, with the penalties. That's what killed us.
The penalty, and Michael Vick cannot throw four interceptions and expect to win another game this year.
Yeah, record high, four interceptions. What was that? I know Andy's saying he's shaking off the rust, but to me, that's not an excuse, in my opinion. This is the professional league.
You talk about an ugly football game, eight combined interceptions from the two quarterbacks. That's not the most pretty football, but hey, from an Eagles perspective, we get the win. I'll ask you this, Skyler.
Yeah.
The offense, obviously, Michael Vick leaves a lot to be desired, but how much are you looking forward to seeing this defense continue to play? And do you think it's more of a function of having played the Cleveland Browns, or do you think this is the defense we're going to see?
I honestly think the defense is just going to get better. Because it's funny, too, because, you know, our defense was awful last season, and now this season starting off with the offense being awful. It's like, can there ever be a true balance? Like, I mean, we have both on the same page. But no, nothing bad against the defense. They were great today. They leave a lot to be desired, too. I mean, we had any sacks, you know, like maybe one or two, and we usually rack those up in every game, you know, with Babin and Trent, maybe even having Cedric run in there or Phillip Hunt. But it's just, I think the defense are going to rule this season. The offense just needs to get on the same page.
Would be an interesting way for the season to go about it.
Yeah, and Skyler, I think if you're an Eagles fan, you've got to love this defense. I mean, everything was bad last year. They completely cleaned up the missed tackles, the lack of discipline on the back end. Tremendous today. But I think offensively, guys, let's face it, the coaches have to look at themselves and say, hey, we've got arguably the best running back in the National Football League.
That's exactly what I was saying.
They can't stop our running back. They can't stop our running back. Why are we going away from it? You know, the last couple of years, last year the play calling was tremendous with LeSean McCoy. I have no idea what they were doing in the fourth quarter when McCoy is ripping them up and the offensive line's getting off the football. Keep giving them that running back. They couldn't stop it, Bo.
I kept screaming at Marty Morningwith's name all the time. I'm like, Marty, what are you doing? Why are you throwing when we're 10 yards from the touchdown? Like, right at the end there at the fourth quarter. I'm like, why are we throwing to Clay Harbor? We should just grind it in there with McCoy or Bryce Brown or even Chris Polk. Get him some reps in there. So I'm like, why do we keep all four running backs? We're not going to use them.
Skyler, I would be lying to you if I said we weren't doing the same thing here. First and goal at the 4-yard line, we're saying, let's give LeSean McCoy the ball four times, please.
Yeah. I don't know what they got it done. I mean, obviously we need to give the ball. Our best player is our running back, not wide receiver, running back. And LeSean McCoy, why not give him the ball more? I mean, he makes plays. It's just LeSean McCoy. That's all I got to say.
You're preaching the choir, my friend. Thanks for the call, Skyler.
Thank you.
You got it.
Appreciate it. It's true, though, because they couldn't stop LeSean McCoy.
Not at all.
5.5 yards a carry.
It's crazy.
And yet they're still force-feeding the passing game. And I understand that they see things that they want to exploit in the passing game because Sheldon Brown's not out there. You think that you can find stuff deep. But LeSean McCoy, you know, yes, he fumbled early in the game, but he only had one fumble on 321 touches in 2011. It's a pretty safe bet that if you give him the ball, they're gonna grind this game out because the Browns weren't doing anything on offense.
No, in fact, I don't think McCoy had a negative run all game. He was tremendous in this game. Everything they dialed up against that Browns front seven seemed to work. And, you know, when the Eagles were down late in the fourth quarter and the Browns couldn't stop them, it looked great. And then all of a sudden, a couple of crazy plays, you go away from the running game. So I think Morningweg and Reed will look at and say, hey, we need to stick with this. Because when you go away from what works, especially when your quarterback is struggling like he did, got to look at yourself and say, you know, we could probably do a better job.
All right, we're awaiting Michael Vick's appearance at the podium to talk about the first game of the 2012 season, a game in which he had four interceptions but got the W. But we go to the phone lines now. Scott from Arizona. Scott, how are you?
I've been better. How are you guys?
We've been a little bit better as well, but better than if the score had gone the other way.
Right. Yeah, but that's a pathetic football game. I you know, I don't know if you guys have talked about it, but I mean, Vic threw two more potential picks in that last drive.
Yep.
I mean, dead to rights in the end zone. You know, linebacker drops back into coverage, and Vic doesn't even see him. He doesn't see the field. I don't know if he's staring at the line, if staring at the rush, or he can't see farther than 5 yards downfield. But all these routes these guys are running, you know, these guys are stopping in these holes, and they're jumping these routes, and Michael stares down his receivers, and these guys just, I mean, it's pretty basic football. They settle into the routes, and they wait for Michael to stare down his receiver, and then they simply jump the route. And, you know, those picks, those weren't the pick variety of a guy making some incredible play. Those were picks where he was throwing into places he had no business throwing the football. From a guy that's been around the block, from a guy that's leading a team with this many weapons, to make those kind of mistakes repeatedly in a game like this where you've completely shut down the other team and you just need to go out and just play efficient football, it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's worrassome. That last drive when we're on the 3-4 yard line and we take three more shots in the end zone with putting the ball in the hands of the guy that's almost cost us the game. I mean, yeah, we did win, but I mean, why don't we hand the ball to Shady? I mean, do you think that the Browns were going to be able to stop Shady on two or three offensive handoffs in a goal line situation? I think that's a no-brainer, but I don't know. I shake my head. I shake my head at the ability of the Eagles to go out and turn the ball over, whatever, five times and have 12, 13, whatever penalties for over 100 yards. I sure hope that, you know, getting a W doesn't wipe away the things that I saw on the field today.
Let me ask you this, Scott. Is there hope
for
you?
It doesn't for me, anyways.
Let me ask you this. Is there hope for you that this is a product of rust for Michael Vick without having played in the preseason and that he's going to get better? Or are you on the complete opposite side of the spectrum thinking that let's bring in Nick Foles now? Oh, well, Scott.
Scott's disgusted.
Scott's disgusted.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Bo, here's the thing. I think when you look at this offense, and we talked about this in my keys to the game, this is the one thing that bothered me. The tight end is the quarterback's best friend. Brent Celek averaged about 7 targets a game over his last 8 last season. They had that chemistry going. And Celek, I don't know, maybe had 4 or 5 pass targets, had 3 or 4 catches. He could have had 8 or 9 catches today. He was open a lot. Scott was right. Vic held on to the ball. He wasn't processing information quickly enough. Wasn't sure where he wanted to go with the football. That was a disappointment today. Get the tight ends the ball. Good to see Harvey get the ball a little bit. He had a tremendous preseason. I think Reid and Morningway got to dial up these plays to the tight ends because the stuff to the receivers downfield clearly was not working today.
Let's talk about how amazing this defense was today, though, because they were so good. Brandon Whedon did nothing with the offense. Trent Richardson did nothing as a running back, completely shut down. From your perspective, Adam, do you think that was more of a function of this, some would say, lowly Browns offense, or do you think it was this is what Juan Castillo is going to trot out there this year?
I think the discipline, the gap discipline, gap integrity, tremendous by the linebackers. Ryan's was all over the place. Everything that you were looking for in a middle linebacker, shooting the gaps, leadership, playing on third down, that was the biggest curveball today, and that was great. Juan called a good game, very good discipline by the linebackers. Kendricks carried over his great play from the preseason. This is probably one of the best defensive performances I've seen from this football team in a long, long time, Bo.
And maybe we'll stop getting questions about whether D'Amico Ryans is going to show up some people said he didn't in the preseason. He was great today. Played in nickel, as you said, despite Jamar Chaney practicing there during practice during the week, which I still think now may have been just Andy Reid throwing something out there to confuse the Browns offense.
Here's another thing, though.
We got Michael Vick.
Okay, go ahead.
I cut you off.
Go ahead.
Come together as a group. It was us in the huddle just stepping up and saying, let's get it done. You know, we've been through so much throughout the game with the penalties and the turnovers. And, you know, the great thing about it, nobody pointed a finger. You know, everybody, you know, just stuck together and encouraged one another. And, you know, the last drive, we just, you know, got into, you know, a no-huddle drill and you know, was able to move the ball, you know, which was good for us. You know, we get out of here 1-0, and that's what's important.
Mike, when you throw a touchdown, was there a sigh of relief over
there? Absolutely. You know, I would be lying if I said it wasn't. You know, we fought hard all game, and you know, obviously I had, you know, plenty of throws that I would like to have back, and you know, sort of, you know, rusty out there, you know, but you know, I just fought through it, and that's all I could do. But, you know, when we scored that last touchdown, it was a sign of relief, you know, to
Was there a sense of frustration out there before in that series? Or
you know what? The thing was, we was never frustrated, you know, even when we was down, you know, and late in the fourth quarter. We was never frustrated with 6 minutes left to go and we was down. You know, we just kept fighting. You know, we just kept encouraging one another and, you know, got to give credit to the defense. You know, they saved us. You know, the defense went out and played well and now they look real good.
Michael, how do you keep your attitude up after the pick six? I mean,
you know, when you throw interceptions, it's one thing, but when you throw an interception for a touchdown and it changes the dynamic of the game, when you look up at the scoreboard and now you're losing, you know, you feel a sense of, you know, dissatisfaction. You know, you look over the sideline and you hold yourself accountable for, you know, for making positive plays and it don't happen. And I have a responsibility to this team, and that's to lead them, not to hurt them. And so I was more disappointed in that than anything. And, you know, just wanted another chance at it to get the ball back and you know, try to make things right.
And he sells out, Mike. You almost threw a pick on the play right before the touchdown. You feel like you got lucky on that one?
Oh man, yeah, I gotta get out of Cleveland.
Do you feel like it was just a matter of getting used to the speed of the game again after not having much of a summer?
You know, and I think, you know, not playing in the preseason, you know, playing enough. You know, as a veteran, I thought I would have that natural feel of the game, and you know, you can't really simulate it in practice because it doesn't count. You know, if you just have a chance to be out on that field. You know, and play this game is different and it's special, you know. And you know, I realized today how special it is and how honored and privileged I am to be able to play in this league, you know. And I never take it for granted, you know. I never take preseason for granted, you know. I give it everything I got each and every down, and you know, the thing I have to do is continue to get better. You know, I know I can keep the turnovers down. I just got to play within the system, and that's what my coach tells me all the time, and not try to do too much. And sometimes I do that.
Like a year ago, this team doesn't probably win this type of game. What does it say about the growth of this team for coming away?
Well, you know, our team has a great deal of resolve. I thought we had it last year. You know, we don't, you know, we never want to disappoint our coaches, and we don't want to disappoint ourselves. And, you know, the thing I can say is, you know, and I'm not just saying it because we won the game today. You know, I'm surrounded by a great group of guys, and y'all probably heard me say that before. You know, I have awesome teammates, and, you know, I wouldn't, you know, trade either one of them for the world. You know, I have great coaches who believe in us, and we believe in them. And, you know, I'm just glad we was able to pull this game out, man. I got to get out of Cleveland.
What changed for you on that last possession? Is it just feeling more comfortable?
You know, the last possession, I just knew it was do or die. And, you know, my teammates, they all just had a sudden look in their eyes, you know, as if, you know, they was wondering what was, you know, wrong with my attitude. You know, why was I, you know, hanging my head? You know, they had never seen me like that before. But I just felt like I let them down. And it'll never happen again, regardless of, you know, what the game dictates. But, you know, that last drive, it was just putting it all together. And I wasn't going to disappoint my coaches. I wasn't going to disappoint my teammates. And even though we had to go 90 yards for the score, whatever it took, I was going to get it done.
Mike, it's funny that you mentioned how your teammates were looking at you there. I mean, I remember a year and a half ago now, but after that Giants game where you let that great comeback, everybody in the locker room said, I knew we were going to win that game. Mike was leading us. He's fearless. He can do it. Do you feel like you've got to get back to that level? You maybe stop saying it?
Absolutely. I think you have to have these type of games in order to become a championship football team. You know, because Cleveland, they have a good defense, and it's not always going to be easy. You know, and, you know, we have a tough schedule, and, you know, we have a lot of challenges so ahead of us. So, you know, you got to take it how it comes. You got to live in the moment, and you got to make it happen when you have to. And, you know, we'll go back to the drawing board, look at the film, and get better. And I certainly know that, you know, my next game, you know, I'm going to try to become a better player.
Mike, do you feel like you talked about a sigh of relief when you got the touchdown, when you fumbled the ball and you turned and the ball was there? I mean, that had to be the same feeling.
Well, regardless of what, you know, that guy was pretty strong. whatever it took, I was going to get that ball back. I felt like I was down. That's why I really didn't try to fight for it. But, you know, it was great play on both sides. I got to take my hat off to the Cleveland defense. I take my hat off to our defense and my teammates. And I'm just glad we got out with a win, and I'm out of Cleveland.
Michael Vick and the Eagles out of Cleveland. They don't have to go back there for another 8 years, thankfully. But it's a win, and we move forward. We go to Ray from Kentucky on the line now. And Ray, you there?
Raven.
Ray, you got to turn your speakers down, buddy.
How you doing, Bo?
How you doing?
Go ahead.
Bo?
Yep, you're live.
Okay, I'll turn them down.
Yep.
How y'all doing?
Good, how are you? Can you turn your speakers down, Ray?
Yes. I just want to say, you know, I like the way you give their defense credit.
Go ahead. We agree. Are you there? He might have. He might be good.
You know, because I think the Cleveland Browns play good defense against our offense.
That they did.
I don't think it was just going to be us just go up there and blow them out, because I think the defense. I mean, I think the Browns played good ball today against the Eagles, and I enjoyed the whole game.
All right. Appreciate your perspective, Ray. Thanks for the phone call. We're going to take a quick commercial break here on the post-game show presented by Rico. On the other side, we're going to go through that 18-play, 91-yard drive that was the game winner for the Eagles. We're going to talk more about what's going on moving forward for the team, and we'll hear more from you. 215-339-6709 here on the post-game show presented by Rico.
If we said a pledge of allegiance before each game, this is what it would be. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Fight, Eagles, fight. Score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Hit 'em low, hit 'em high, and watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory.
Well, the kids wanted a puppy, but they can be really expensive. So to save money, I just found him a possum.
Dad, I think he's dead.
Probably just playing possum. There he is.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Flanked by Roy Hello and also Cooley, who takes the catch, and he is belted down. What a hit by Asamoah. Cooley made the catch at the flat, and Asamoah just leveled him for a two-yard loss. What a play by Asamoah.
He makes the catch, but he didn't net very much.
What's up, Eagles fans? This is Nnamdi Asamoah, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We thank you for joining us here on the post-game show presented by Rico. And as a thank you to all of you who are watching, we're offering a special merchandise promotion on the store.PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Any purchase, you get a free 2012 yearbook with LeSean McCoy on the cover. A lot of good stuff in there, as put together by our friend Chris McPherson. So a nice gift there for everybody tuning in if you want to make a purchase of, I guess today the guy you'd want to buy a jersey for would be Dominic Rogers-Cromartie after his beautiful two interceptions.
Or Michael Kendricks or DeMeco Ryans. I mean, the defense was just great.
And let's not overlook Kurt Coleman,
no.
Two interceptions of himself, closing the game with another interception.
You know, the discipline on the defense was unbelievable, just tremendous. And you know, they're being coached up well. And you see the speed of this defense. And give the D-line credit. Yeah, they didn't get a ton of sacks, but they got consistent pressure on Whedon, who had one of the worst games I've seen from a rookie quarterback, but he's a rookie. And we've been hard on Brandon Whedon.
A 37,000-year-old
rookie. Yeah, no, you keep bringing that up. But he'll get better because he's got a good arm and he's a smart kid. Listen, both quarterbacks, way too many turnovers and unforced errors was the pronouncement today for both quarterbacks. A lot of bad mistakes.
All right, let's go through now that drive that was the game-winning drive for the Eagles. They get the ball at their 9-yard line with over 5 minutes, 6:20 left to go. Second down here, Michael Vick finds Jason Avant over the middle of the field. And listen, this is another time where we were saying, give the ball to LeSean McCoy, give the ball to LeSean McCoy. But Andy Reid showed confidence in Michael Vick. Mm-hmm. He knows that this is the quarterback who's going to take this team through the season. It's gut check time. He's got to take him through. And so they give the ball to Vick, and this is a nice conversion
play.
Here.
Really incredible play by Vick to hold, wait till Avant gets open. The last second throw is a tremendous job by Vick. And the thing is here, these plays are actually supposed to be 3- and 5-step drops like this one.
And
five-step, and there was a great play by Jackson. That would have been a pick by Joe
Hayden. Great play by DeSean Jackson. Another ill-advised throw from Vick because that was first down. He had guys open under the middle, and then this is a real turning point play. It's third down, and Michael Vick scrambles for the first.
Incredible.
But it's knocked loose by Atiyah Rubin, and Vick finds a way to get the ball. And this is where that question comes up about challenging and unchallengeable play, why the Eagles didn't get 15 yards. But still, Michael Vick scrambles, takes another hit. That would have been his fifth turnover of the game, but he does a good job finding it. And this is a nice
tremendous
bullet pass
throw.
To Brent Celek to get them inside the 5-yard line, down to the 3. And once again, first and goal from the 3-yard line. We're thinking, give it to Shady 4 times,
yes.
please. But that's not the case. It looked like they were lined up to give it to Shady on first down, called an audible. They gave it to Stanley Havili on the inside for a loss. And then the second down play, which we didn't show, is almost an interception, a game-ending interception that really would have put the knife in the team, his fifth interception, but dropped by the undrafted linebacker for the Browns. And then on third down, Vick makes them pay, gets the connection to Clay
Harbor.
You know,
it's interesting. Bo, Vick said in his post-game press conference how he was down on himself, and his teammates were surprised that he was hanging his head, which he really never does, but he had the intestinal fortitude on the final drive just to hang in there and drive the team down the field. And you talked about LeSean McCoy. He was tremendous. I think that's where the coaches will look at the tape and say, hey, we need to get this guy the ball. Next week's opponent, the Ravens, way better against the run. That's going to be a very, very tough opponent, and thank goodness for the Eagles' sake that they won this game. You don't want to go 0-1 against the Ravens, but in the end, the story of this game is perseverance. I mean, that's exactly what it was, especially with Michael Vick.
The Eagles get a tiny bit of a break in that the Ravens don't play until tomorrow night, so they'll be on a bit of a short week. Well, we should also note that around the NFC East, the Washington Redskins, a great win for them. They go down into the Superdome and take out the New Orleans Saints. A good debut for Robert Griffin. So the Eagles tied atop the division with the Cowboys and Redskins. And I don't mind saying that the Giants are in dead last.
Yeah, that was actually a very, very fun game to watch. Tony Romo was phenomenal. But the good thing next week, they're going to have the tape of the Ravens. The Ravens go with the sugar huddle. We'll see a lot of that. Joe Flacco had a great preseason. But getting back to this game, the defense was just incredible. I can't say enough about the defense. And I'll be honest with you, the defense not even one game last year did they play anywhere close to this level. I don't care if the opponent was the Browns. The execution, the tackling, wrapping up, 121 missed tackles
last season. Well, and we talked about it in the pregame show
today.
How they were so boom or bust last year, and they needed to be consistent.
Right.
They were consistent today. In the fourth quarter, like last year, when they would have sort of let up a little bit.
Right.
You didn't see that.
Nope.
First play of the last drive, Kirk Coleman gets the interception. Good pressure from the defensive line throughout, but it wasn't Sac City like it was last year.
Right.
This game, really the standout was the back seven.
Tremendous. And, you know, the bad staff for the Eagles last year, also in the back four, secondary, was yards after the catch. Eagles, one of the worst teams in the National Football League last season. Today, they were tremendous. Josh Gordon, who beat them a little bit in the third preseason game, did not today. Travis Benjamin, he had the end around for 35 yards, but that was really it. They did a great job on Trent Richardson, who was clearly rusty, but here's where they stopped him, Bo. Backside runs. Couldn't get any cutbacks. They read their keys. The linebackers were tremendous. Kendricks is big time, okay? This guy is so good. He hasn't had one bad game yet. Great regular season debut, great in the preseason. And the other big story, D'Amico Ryans, throw all that preseason stuff out. He was great today.
And I think we talked about Brandon Whedon's heinous numbers, 12 of 35 for 118 yards, a quarterback rating of 5.1, four interceptions. He only completed 6 passes to receivers. That speaks very highly of the Eagles' secondary. So a very good start for them, and they'll face a better offense next week.
Of course.
Better running back in Ray
better
Rice,
quarterback.
Better quarterback in Joe Flacco, and some not great receivers, but Torrey Smith emerging. So they'll be tested. But it'll be a good test. It'll be interesting to see how they respond.
Yeah, and over 20 targets for those receivers. So the Eagles secondary, you've got to love the discipline. And the young defensive lineman, you know, Thornton, played a lot today. In fact, he came in the first half, which surprised me. Cox, of course. The rotation is very, very deep, no question about that. And you got to feel good about it, no question about it. They made big plays today. The turnovers, this is what you want from this defense because the plays are there to be made. And don't forget about Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. I said in the pregame, 5 to 6 interceptions this season for him. He's already got 2.
I think you undersold it, but yeah. We'll see what happens. We go to the phone lines now. Chris from New York is on the line. Chris, it's a win, but how are you feeling?
Chris is driving us. He's calling in. Go ahead.
Chris, you're on, buddy.
The shoes on.
All right, Chris, we're going to have to... All right. Well, you're going to have to put shoes on, and we're going to have to take you off. We'll welcome somebody else to call in, 215-339-6709. Open to hearing what you're thinking about this Eagles
team. Make sure you wear your shoes when you call.
And make sure you have your shoes on. But you know what? If you don't have your shoes on, you can still call us.
That's right.
We're not going to know. Adam, this offensive line was a bit of a problem for the Eagles, and it played into why Michael Vick was so uncomfortable in the pocket in this game. Are you worried moving forward? What did you think of King Dunlap's performance at left tackle?
I thought inconsistent for Dunlap, but here's the thing, Bo. He also had plenty of time to throw the football. You know, if you talk to any offense coordinator, they want the quarterback to get rid of the football in 2.7 to 3 seconds. Vic last year, second worst QB in holding the football. I think Sal Palantonio threw that stat out. 3.7, Bo, that's way too long.
Who was the worst?
I don't know. I think it was actually
4.0. Weird, Brandon Whedon wasn't even in the league.
7. But no, but I'm saying last year.
I know.
Vic, though, 3.7.
Making a joke about the old
game. Yeah, I got you. But the bottom line is, can't have that. When the line gives you time to throw the football, you get it out. Brent Celek should be the tight end's best friend. It gets open all the time, I'm telling you.
All right. Raymond from Virginia, you're on the line. Are you wearing shoes, my friend?
Ray, are you there?
Anthony from Virginia.
All right, what's up to Anthony?
Anthony, you're there.
Tony. Good.
Anthony, buddy. Give us something. Nothing at all. Hello, Anthony.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Anthony, we can hear you loud and clear.
Could you hear us?
Hello? Oh, get out of here. Are you kidding me?
All right. Well, we're going to have to.
I'm in here.
Go ahead.
All right. Talk away, my friend.
All right. Yeah. I'm glad we got the W, but I really had to say that I don't know if it's Vic's height that gets in his way, because there's a lot of them throws that we've seen that he shouldn't have made. But I got to give our hats off to the D. They really stepped up today. I know it was Cleveland. I know next week we'll be playing a better quarterback. And only thing I really seen was Kendrick got, or could have had that touchdown when they tried to hit Alex Smith. He got beat on that one, but that'll improve. But overall, great job on the D, but we cannot turn the ball over 4 times against Baltimore and make it ugly.
I agree with you. No, I agree with you. You know, that's the thing that we forgot about. First half, Masqua opened for a touchdown in the corner, missed it.
Yeah.
And then Alex Smith, Bo, that should have been a touchdown. He was open. He beat Kendricks. But the bottom line is, overall, the defense was phenomenal today. We saw stuff today I didn't see at all from the Eagles' defense last season.
Thanks for the call, Anthony. Started slow, but you brought a little bit of thunder there. That's good. Now, we're going to go to the locker room here to talk to one of the players who's quickly becoming, I'd say, maybe my favorite player on the team. And we've talked about him. He's got so much personality. He's
DRC.
A great dancer, right? In the locker room, on the field. He's really replaced Asante as the life of the practice field. He does a great job, and he looks like he's going to be a great part of this starting defense. 2 interceptions in Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, first start on the left side in 2012 for the Eagles. Let's find out what he says in the locker room. We go to Jit.
Yeah, let's get those glasses on. The glasses there, the magic touch?
Yes, sir. You know, all part of my, personality. You know, just a guy that's just outgoing, going to have fun. Really just going to have fun.
You talked about how, last year you weren't as comfortable as you were this year. You talked about how comfortable you were all training camp, and then you go out and have 2 interceptions, 2 more than you had all of last year.
Yes, sir. You know, I think that's just a great thing, how to start off just from a personal standpoint. But, I give. Credit to the D-line, because I knew the ball was going to have to come out fast, and snapping my head around just to get a feel of where the ball is, and you know, with just opportunity presents itself, we're just there to make it.
How big is it for the defense? You know, when the offense is struggling, Mike's throwing, you know, some interceptions, turnovers, but the defense that never wavered, still got a big game.
Oh man, that just says a lot about us. But you know, at the end of the day, we're a team. You know, sometimes the offense is gonna have to bail us out. It was just one of them games we just had to dig deep and just keep on fighting. You know, and you capitalize off that, get in the field room, see what you can do better, and go from there.
What was going on? What was going on the sideline after the pick six? Because it seemed like this place exploded, and everything was going the wrong way for you guys.
You know, one thing I did, I could say, nobody dropped their head. You kind of get that feeling like, dang. But at the end of the day, you know, you still got to go out there. There's a lot of game left, so you got to pick yourself back up and just go out there and fight.
How big is it for you guys to walk out of here? It wasn't look like it was going your way, but to walk out of here with a win. At the end of the day, a win's a win.
Yeah, no matter how it is, like you say, at the end of the day, a win's a win. And, you know, you just look for building that and keep on going.
Clay Harbor scores that touchdown. What was it like to go out there on the field and have Kirk Coleman on the very first play secure the game-winning interception?
Man, that was a relief, man. It's like everything just that you were thinking just get out your mind. All the doubt, you're like, okay, we really, really got to do it. Really got to do it. And Kirk come up on the first play. You can't ask for nothing else better.
And then, you know, you see the penalties. The, you know, obviously Mike got knocked around. There were turnovers. Do you feel like it was a little bit of an undisciplined effort from you guys?
You know, I say just being the first game, everybody nervous, all jittery and stuff. I say, well, once we got settled down, you know, they scored the winning touchdown, and that's what we needed. You know, knowing our offense during the season gonna put up points, so just got to settle back down and get back to it.
Both those interceptions were on deep plays down the sideline. Just talk about the speed you had in keeping up with Benjamin on those two picks.
You know, say that again.
The speed,
that's just part of one of my attributes, you know, just to be one of the taller, faster guys that can run with most guys. So the main thing is just stay up with them, and then at the end, just get your head around and find the ball.
Is the defense better suited?
Yeah, it's correct.
All right. I think, you know, we're talking about that promotion on PhiladelphiaEagles.com store. I think they need to start selling those pink sunglasses.
Right. How about that on the spud
cam? That looks pretty good on you, I think.
Pink? Come on. I think you like my Lisa Love glasses. Come on.
I think you could put it off. All right. Back to the phone lines now. Derek from Ottawa. Derek, it's 1-0. What are you thinking?
I'm exhausted, guys.
We are just physically exhausted.
That was a long game.
I need a nap after that one, but as ugly as it was, the win is a win. Like, the offense, like, thoroughly, like, had me infuriated at some points, but I honestly have to take my hat off to the defense. They saved our asses on that one. Like, no doubt the defense won that game for us. Like, Michael Vick, I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know if it's rust or whatever it is, but he needs to shake it off because the Ravens aren't going to be playing around with us like the Cleveland Browns were today. Like, you know, Flacco could get it done, so we need to step up our game for next week.
Derek, had you considered the possibility coming into this game that it would be the defense that won this game for the team?
I did because I know most people think that Cleveland is a bad team. But their defense is really good. Like, if you look at their rankings from last year, they're actually a really good defense. So I knew if the offense was going to struggle, that the defense was going to have to carry.
Tremendously disciplined, Derek. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's the one thing. They don't have a lot of big-time players. And remember, Sheldon Brown got hurt early in the game. The Eagles did beat Buster Screen a couple times. But I got to give them credit. I mean, you know, they're playing without both their starting outside linebackers, their top backup, James Michael Johnson. And they hung in there. I mean, you can't ask much more from their defense, Bo.
That's true.
Honestly, one thing I couldn't understand, and I was yelling at the television, was how we just, like, Brent Celek had a big play for us, then we abandoned him, like, for, like, almost the rest of the game, and then you see we go to him again, and the guy's a beast. He's dragging people towards the end zone. Like, you need to go to him more often. The guy's a monster. Get him the ball,
and he'll
fight for extra yards for us. Like,
you're right. And last year,
we abandon him sometimes.
Right,
and
Derek.
Mike acts like he doesn't see him when he's such a big target.
Right. But last year, when
thank
Vic
you for the call, Derek. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Right. No, last year, Derek's absolutely right. When Vic struggled last year, he started to find Brent Celek in the second half, and then boy, did they develop chemistry. Had a little bit of it today, but I'm telling you, Celek gets open short a lot. He's the quarterback's best friend, especially when he's struggling. I think Celek could have a tremendous season. It's just about Vic seeing the field clearly and processing information better. Vic struggled with that today. He definitely did.
And listen, you know, as tired a point of run-pass ratio has become when it comes to Andy Reid and the Eagles, it's true today because they had called 65 passes for Michael Vick to drop back and only gave the ball to LeSean McCoy in the running game 20 times, 23 runs total if you can count DeSean Jackson and Bryce Brown. I mean, LeSean McCoy was an All-Pro last year for a reason. He was fourth in the league in rushing without playing in the last game of the season. I don't understand fully why he didn't get the
and
ball.
And here's the biggest thing here. If the Eagles were down, let's say, by two to three touchdowns, you could clearly understand it. They would have to throw. They're down by four. They're down, what was the score in the fourth quarter?
16-10.
Yeah, it was 16-10. But McCoy on that final drive had over 40 yards. I just don't understand it. And you talk about 65 called pass plays. And again, when McCoy is just killing the Browns defense, they had no answer. They didn't stop him at all game. And I think that's where the coaches have to look at and say, self-scout, and say, hey, how could we do a better job of helping our quarterback? And that's what you do. You have to help your quarterback be set up for success. And I think Morningweg and Reed have to do a better job there. But I have to give Vic credit at the end of the game. I thought for sure he was done mentally. As he kind of talked about in the postgame, he hung in there and made some big-time throws.
And the final big-time throw that he made was to Clay Harbor. Clay Harbor scores the touchdown that ties the game at 16 before Alex Henry puts it through the uprights for the one-point victory. But we talked to Harbor his third year in the league, and he makes a game-winning play.
So, Clay, on that touchdown grab, I couldn't help but immediately think of all that practicing you would do after practice, catching ball after ball after ball. It seemed like it finally paid off with that touchdown.
Yeah, you know, this offseason just really took a big deal for me was just catching as many balls as I could. And you know, after every practice, every training camp practice, you know, every day in the offseason, I'll just catch a lot of passes and you know, it just feels a lot more comfortable than it really ever has. And you know, it's just second nature now.
What happened on that touchdown play?
It's a play we ran against New England in the preseason. I scored on it there too, and it's basically Brent's gonna outside release the defensive end and linebacker, and if they go with Brent, then I'm gonna come underneath and I'll have a one on one with the Mike linebacker. And if I can beat him with speed across his face, I'm just gonna take it. And DeQuell was sitting there, and I got across his face, and you know Mike put it in a good spot.
What does it mean for you to come up that big in that situation?
You know, it boosts confidence, and you know, I just you know, hopefully, you know, let the coaches know that I can make a play in that situation when I'm called upon, and you know, Mike have you know more confidence in me, and you know, just for them to know whenever they need me in the red zone or you know whatever situation is, I feel like I can help the team and make plays.
Biggest touchdown in your career, you think?
Yeah, definitely is. No questions. Going back to, you know, college, maybe high school, I made score a touchdown to go to the state playoffs. But, you know, I'd say it's a little bit bigger.
For after the pick six, what was Mike Vick's mindset like in the huddle as he took you guys out on the field for that 16-play game-winning drive?
Well, just like it always is, you know, he's our leader and he's focused, and we always believe we're going to score and we're going to come up big. And, you know, he was just, you know, the leader that he's been since he's, you know, been our quarterback, and just drove down the field. You know, and you know, kept motivating us in the huddle. Like, let's go. We got to score here, get the win, and you know, we did. It all came together.
How tough was it though? Because that crowd went electric after that pick six. You figure, you know, underdog team fighting, they got the lead fourth quarter. How tough was it to maintain that composure?
Really, when you're in the game, we were all just focused. It was an experience for me. Just on the sideline, nobody was really panicked. Nobody's really crowds going crazy. You know, we're losing by six. Nobody really, you know, lost their composure or anything. We all were focused. We all thought we were going to win the game. We knew we were going to get the ball back. The defense played outstanding. They got a bunch of stops. And that last drive, you know, we weren't rushing anything and drove the ball down the field and we got the touchdown.
Clay, I'm sure you've been asked, has had the touchdown of Paul Bruni?
Good stuff there from Clay Harbor. Still plenty more to come here on the postgame show presented by Rico. We're going to hear from Kurt Coleman, LeSean McCoy, D'Amico Ryans, Cullen Jenkins, and maybe a little bit more. Back on the other side here on the postgame show presented by Rico, Bo Wolf and Adam Kaplan, as the Eagles start off the season with a 17-0 victory in Cleveland over the Browns.
We'll be right back.
smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Seen the signs on the passersby, something's got to give. Can't be privy, good for me, but this good thing comes along and I can't hide too long.
Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
All right, we're back on the postgame show presented by Rico. Here we go to the phone lines. Jose from Georgia, your reaction to the Eagles' 1-0 start, painful as it was at times.
Oh yeah, it was a pretty long one, but I was just happy that he won, but it's better than losing. I was just real. It was an exciting one, it was a big day for both defenses, for the Browns and for the Eagles. The offenses didn't I was very happy that the Browns had nothing on offense, but I'm just happy that the Eagles won. I'm not real happy with Vic, but I think he'll learn from that. Maybe he was just getting a little bit of rust off, but hopefully the Eagles go and learn from this game, and hopefully take it all the way to Baltimore. I was just wanting to give a. I don't know if you guys had a footage of one play of Nnamdi. It was I think they tossed the ball to Cleveland had the ball, and I think Nnamdi was he was covering like I don't know if it was like a cover two or something like that. He came right back. It was like the Browns they carried the ball for like 15 yards or something like that, and I just came right back down like with a big hustle play, like just it could have cost the Eagles a touchdown. It was a heck of a play from Nnamdi. That's one of the highlights I saw from the game.
It was a great play, Jose, and thanks for the call. And it really did turn the tide, because if Travis Benjamin goes in for a touchdown there, it's 10-3. Instead, the Eagles force a turnover and interception in the red zone. One or two plays later, a nice play in which Nate Allen and Nnamdi Asamoah converged on the receiver at the same time, and Kurt Coleman was able to pick it off. And speaking of Kurt Coleman, we're going to toss to him in the locker room now. Two interceptions for Mr. Coleman, one that closed out the game and gave the Eagles the win. And as we said before, this time Rex Grossman wasn't even the guy throwing him the ball.
You're right. He continues to get it done. And the thing I love is the chemistry with the secondary. Tremendous today, and that was a big problem last year. They all carried out their assignments very well.
Yes, and so Kurt Coleman in the locker room, we tossed to him after his two-interception performance.
Of how we continue to fight and work through all of our adversities.
Four turnovers for the secondary. How big is that?
It's big. Last year, that was one of the things that we wanted to improve on. I don't know how many interceptions we had in the back end, but it wasn't enough. But, really, I think the credit goes to the front four. They allowed us to really sit back there and read Whedon and force him into some bad throws. The front four got after him all day long. And even though they didn't have that many sacks, I know they got their pressure on him.
Right. What did you see on the last interception?
What I see?
Yeah.
We were just in a cover three, so I was a middle field safety. And just reading Whedon. And I was getting actually ready to break on, they ran a little curl route, I think. And I was going to undercut it, but I saw the ball come off high. So I just went up and, tried to make a play and seal the game for the team.
What did it feel like for you to come back to Ohio and have a game like this?
It's a little emotional, I'm not going to lie. It was my first time really coming back and playing. I'm really proud of this team. Being able to just continue to fight. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just continued to fight, and you know, we never gave up. No matter when the cards were stacked against us, we never gave up. We continued to fight, and you know, people made plays when we need to make plays. Whether it be offense, defense, special teams, we made plays when we need to make plays.
Well, you took an incredible hit when your helmet got knocked off and you got bloodied a little bit. Yeah. Tell me about that. What? Tell me about the play.
Well, it was just a simple run for them. But I got cracked by the wide receiver, and when he hit me, my helmet chin strap popped off, and then I couldn't even see, and the rest is history. He ran right into me, and my helmet did some work on my face, so as you can see. But I'm feeling good. Even though I'm in pain, I feel good.
Was it your helmet that cut you up? It wasn't.
I don't even. I'm gonna be honest. I couldn't see him, so yeah, I just felt the collision and just kept on playing.
Did you have a headache or?
No. It's just the cuts. No headache. Just cuts.
You played every snap today, right?
I think so. Did I miss one? yeah, I played everyone.
How about DRC? I mean, he had that great preseason. Absolutely. And then kind of just built on it today.
I'll tell you what, he's been on since the beginning of offseason. And he really wants to prove that he's one of the best cornerbacks in this game. And I know it, you know, just by the way he goes out there. And he competes every single day. And, you know, we're in a little battle right now. But I love it. I love that he's able to, you know, just lock a man up and go get an interception when we need it. He's one of the best cornerbacks I've been able to play with.
It looks like you were working on your chin. Was it under your chin at all or just here?
No, just what you see. Okay. Yeah, just a little bit of luck.
First pick you had came in the red zone. This is a team that struggled in red zone defense last season. You guys kept them out of the end zone today. What did it mean for you guys to have that red zone defense?
It's big. You know, we were put in some tough positions with turnovers, and I think this defense is ready to fight through every adversity that we're given. You know, when it's a turnover, you can't hold your head down. We got to be able to come out and make a play, and you know, time and time we just continue to do it. Now, like I said, the front four got after them, and you know, they did a phenomenal job all game long. And actually, on that play though, Nate made a great hit, jarred the ball loose, and it just happened to pop into my hands. And, you know, turn the ball over to offense.
On the day when the offense struggled, what did it mean for this defense to step up?
Well, we know what we're capable of. And, you know, our goal at the beginning of the season was to be great. We want to be the best defense in the league. You know, second place isn't good enough. We want to be the best. And we took a step forward. We got to get better at certain areas in our game, but we took a step forward today.
Kurt, how much?
The warrior, Kurt Coleman there, Adam, as you see the cuts on his face from that play where Trent Richardson ran into him with the helmet off, and which was actually a nice play. He shed a block and made the stop short of the first down, and then the Eagles got the stop on the next play, but he did get his helmet knocked off by Richardson. A warrior from Kurt Coleman. They also made a nice play on special teams. He's really coming on. You said this.
You know what's amazing about Kurt Coleman? This time a year ago, it was, you know, over the first 3 to 4 weeks, it was bad. He got benched, hung in there. Got his chance to play again, had the big game against the Redskins, and it's all about resiliency. I mean, he's done it. Asamoah's done it. You see the secondary. They had a couple plays they'd like to have back. Obviously, there were two in particular, but overall, big-time playmakers today. And this is a day where they only had, you know, a couple sacks. The story of this game. But they kept the pressure on. You know, sacks were a result of pressure. Just make the quarterback throw the ball before he wants to, which they did a lot today with Brandon Weed.
And Nate Allen, also an impressive game for him. Yes. Strong in run support, yes. A very sure tackler, as we've talked about. Back to the phone lines now. Jesse from Maryland joins us. Jesse, how are you feeling, my friend?
Good. How's it going, guys?
All right. What are your thoughts as the Eagles move on to next play the Baltimore Ravens from your home state?
The Ravens, I'm not sure how that's going to go. Just to talk about today's game, though. First, of course, I was going to call in and talk about how ugly it was. Then I looked at some of the numbers, and it actually, besides the mistakes, obviously, it wasn't really that ugly. I mean, we can point out the obvious, but first of all, as far as the defense goes, I will trade sacks for that kind of run stopping and that type of secondary play any day of the week.
Sure. It's a fair point. Very fair point. Very fair point. They weren't getting these plays last year. You know, the lack of discipline last year, Jesse, was terrible on defense. Today, tremendous. And, you know, the mistakes were on offense. The penalties were bad, but got to love this defense. And you see why they drafted Michael Kendricks in the second round. Great preseason, great first game. He's on his way here. He's on his way.
Yeah, and there's another thing that I noticed coaching-wise. You know, on that last drive, normally this is a game, well, last year, that's a game that something happens. We make a wrong decision, something happens, and we don't get that drive. Last year, we probably lose this game.
That's
but
exactly
when
right.
When you got a defense that finally can win a game, then it's things are starting to look up. We can play this bad, make this many mistakes, and still win.
That's a good point, Jesse, and thanks for the call. And it's true. We talked about that. This is a game last year that the Eagles would have lost, and they find a way to win this game. And listen, that's the difference. These games are the difference between not making the playoffs at 8-8 and making the playoffs at 10-6.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. And you know, the defense has got to feel a lot of confidence coming out of this game. I don't care if it's against Cleveland. That's not the point. Corrected all those errors from last season, the lack of discipline, the missed tackles, the missed assignments, wrong gap, gap integrity terrible. I mean, it was a comedy of errors last season. We mentioned earlier the red zone defense terrible last year. Great today. What more could you say about the defense? But the offense has so many mistakes to clean up. Mental errors by Michael Vick. Missed chips on offense. You know, Vick not seeing the field clearly. And the thing about Vick that I liked, he admitted, after the game, he essentially said he didn't have a good game, held his head low. And the players, as Vick said, came up to him and said, what are you doing? You need to help us. Let's try to win this game. And he did. See, that shows you. When the chips were down, he brought the team back. I mean, he had to do it. He made some big-time throws, Bo, on that final drive. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't sure if he's going to be able to do that.
It's true. And then he also almost did throw the interception
in
the end zone. Can't let that go.
Yes.
But it was a victory for Vic. As for LeSean McCoy, we all wanted him to get the ball a little bit more. Only 20 carries, but he did go for 110 yards, added 6 catches for 26 yards onto that. A good start for the All-Pro in his second season. Moving forward for another Pro Bowl status, I think he's established himself as one of the best running backs in the league.
He's a star,
and we'd like to see him get the ball a little more. Let's find out if Shady says he wants the ball a little more inside the locker room at Cleveland.
Looking bad and all, we still kept fighting.
You never fumble. Is that put that past
you? Things were. I fumbled the ball. I was trying to do too much. I seen a guy at the safety coming, so I tried to spin out and go around. And as I beat him, but he ripped the ball away. It's one of the things that I just got to do better at. I mean, I usually never fumble, but it's football. You know, guys make mistakes. The good thing is that, it didn't faze me. Usually stuff like that kind of fazes me and then pisses me off. But it's bigger than just me. You know, I have a whole team of 11 guys I have to play for, so put it against me.
How calm was that huddle there? You know, everything's going against Mike Vick's way and the offense today. He's struggling, but for you guys to have that confidence in the huddle, what's going on there on that 91-yard drive?
Well, the biggest thing is that we got to score. You know, we're a great offense. We feel like we're a great offense. We have the best quarterback in the league, one of them. So we just had to build them up. I think a lot of the times we put so much pressure on them, you know, put them in bad situations. You know, he's such a good player, and we rely on him too much, I think, sometimes. You know, he's still human. You know, I mean, he might be Michael Vick and superstar, but he's still human. So, as a team, we have to do better to support him better. You know, I think late in the drive, we did that.
How about for you on that final drive? How much do you think getting some big gains there kind of calmed everything down for you guys to come out
anytime you kind of get some good runs, some positive plays, you know, it calms the defense down, calms the crowd down. You know, you kind of get in that mold, that flow of the game. You know, I think that it was good that we did that, you know. You trust in me. I feel like they trust in the offensive line. Let us work. And I think that's what happened. That's what they did.
Did you walk away from this game, in a sense, upset because it was sloppy with a lot of penalties and a lot of turnovers? But, you know, I know you guys win, but do you guys, you know, we have a lot of work to go here.
Oh, yeah. Well, the win is the biggest thing. I think you throw out the stats, throw out the freaking individual stats, and you worry about winning. And that's what we did today. But the biggest thing is just got to get better. We have to do more to beat Baltimore next week. So it's got to be our focus. That's the biggest thing, man, execute. I don't think we executed enough today, and I felt that the turnovers, you know, kind of held us from scoring because we were driving the ball. You know, we put up some yards that we got to find a way to get in the end zone and quit the turnovers.
Last one, please.
Thanks for sure.
Good stuff from Shady. We go back to the phone lines now. Matt from New York on the line. What's going on, Matt?
Matthew. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Matt.
Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, buddy? I can barely hear you, but I just want to say I think, Adam, you're letting Vic off the hook too easy here.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, he was just horrendous tonight. If I have to look at the rest of the team, I think we got a very good team, solid squad this year. But I think preseason told the tale just as well as, you know, any team in the league. But the defense looked phenomenal.
Yeah. In
the preseason and in the camp. And the offense with Vic has never looked good. With Foles, it looked amazing. But with Vic, it just hasn't looked good.
Matt, here's what happened. He had a bad game. I'm not sugarcoating it, okay? All I said is he had a very good final drive, although it came close to throwing a pick or two. But he's got to get over this. This was a bad performance. He's got the tape. This was embarrassing. He's got to be hard on himself, Bo. When they watch that tape tomorrow, okay, he's got to let it sink in. This cannot happen again. And I know the fans are calling for Foles. You got to give him a chance to get out of it. Vic did. He drove the team down for the winning score to Harbor. But, Matt, you're right. Bad performance. Let's see if he could rebound. Now, if this goes 3 to 4 games with bad performances like this, you got to start looking at your other quarterback.
I mean, he just doesn't have the intelligence level that I think we need, you know. And, I mean, it's just a matter of smarts. He's way more of an athlete than Foles is, even at the age of 32. But he just has not been able to make the right decisions, unfortunately.
All right.
You know, I mean, I'm not calling for the axe week one, but, you know, against the Cleveland Browns, we got some tough schedule ahead of us. And, you know, if we're struggling against them, I mean, they did play good defense. But, I mean, I love our defense, though. I mean, that's definitely probably the best defense I've seen in 20-plus years.
That's a little strong.
A little strong, Jim Johnson, but that's all right. A good start, and thanks for the phone call, Matt. Adam, the leader of that defense, supposedly, is our middle linebacker, the nickname Cap, D'Amico Ryans, who had a great debut for his first regular season game with the Eagles. We talked to him inside the locker room with the Browns.
That was huge for us because, you know, their defense was getting turnovers, and you know, we had to continue to capitalize off our opportunities. Probably should have had a couple more, but it was definitely a good feeling to get those turnovers and to give our offense the ball back.
What was the game plan for stopping the run, D'Amico, coming in?
Nothing in particular. It's just, you know, this game plan every week is first thing first is to stop the run. And, you know, it was nothing special or anything like that, but it's just, you know, we knew we had to come downhill and stop the run. We knew they were going to try to get Trent going early, you know, and let Whedon, you know, throw some short passes and things like that. But it was just, total, you know, defensive effort. Everybody was getting to the ball, and there weren't any big holes for them to, you know, for him to skate through anything.
You know,
about the communication, just everybody being on the same page. First time everybody really been together.
Oh yeah, everything worked well. We had great communication. Everybody was on the same page. It was a very good first outing, and we just, you know, look to continue to build off of that. But it was a very good first outing for us.
D'Amico, you know, we kept coming to you during the preseason to your locker and telling you, you know, fans were concerned because, you know, just by your, I guess you're playing the preseason, but, and you kept telling us not to worry that once the lights were on, you were going to perform. And I think we saw that. Is that what we saw today? I mean,
I'm just having fun playing ball. That's what I do. I mean, happy to get the win today. And you know, I'll just continue to lead these guys and, you know, continue to build on and get ready for the next one.
You love being on the field with the game on the line in the last minute of the fourth quarter as a defense to say, hey, let's end this game.
Yeah, I love it when the game's in the defensive hands. You know, when it's on us to close the game out, that's why I play this game. You know, there's more of a special feeling than being out there and all your teammates on the sideline counting on, you know, our 11 out there to get it done. So it's a special feeling for, you know, Kirk to get up and go get the pick. It was a great catch, great play by him. And it's special to close it out on defense. And to go back out there, see your offense kneeling the ball. Love that formation.
I saw you animated quite a bit after some of the big plays on the field. It was your first chance to, you know, kind of show people what you have in an Eagles uniform and maybe answer questions about whether it's Achilles or all this other kind of stuff. I mean, how big of a game was this for you?
It was the first one. It was a good outing. It's the, you know, first game. It was a good start for us, and it was just continue to look to build off of. And I'm happy about our outing as a defensive unit, and, you know, look forward to the next one.
You can come up the field for very, very many plays.
Good stuff there from D'Amico. And as we prepare to begin to close things out here on the post-game show presented by Rico, we go to our phone lines. Our last phone call of the day, the professor, Herb from Philly. Herb, drop some knowledge on us, my friend.
Hey,
save the best for last.
Absolutely.
Look, it was never any doubt of this one. Easy.
Oh, yeah. Start to finish, we knew we had
right,
it, right?
Right.
I was really, if Vic keeps this up, they're going to pull him. But I was really.
If he keeps it up, he's going to give me a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah. I like the Ryans played very well, I thought. D'Amico Ryans made a lot of plays.
Got him in Philly.
Exactly.
Kendrick did pretty well. He missed one on a where I think he got a penalty near the end zone there. But he played well. He was all over the place. So I think that's good. The corners played well. The safeties played well. Did Boykin get hurt? I didn't hear.
They didn't think, you know, Andy didn't talk about it. It's funny you say that. I saw that right, like, I mean, I'm talking real late in the game.
Yeah.
And I didn't see him come back, but Andy didn't talk about it. So
yeah, it was the kickoff after the Eagles scored the touchdown where he was lying on the field, but Andy did not mention him in the post-game injury report, so we're hoping that Boykin's
all
right.
Yeah, hopefully it's okay. Yeah, I was, what was bothering me is that Vic had no time at all.
Problem is, Herb, is that he had no time, and then when he did have time, he was acting like he had no time, and he was getting jittery back there. That the rush gets to you.
Yeah, that was really bad. Hopefully he gets better. Yeah, if not, we're going to see somebody else. But exactly. I really think he will get better.
Well, listen, it was a bad performance by him. He's going to look at that tape, Herb, and Bo tomorrow and say, hey, I can't play like this. If you talk to players, Bo, you know this. The worst is when you know you had a bad game, you got to watch that tape. You dread going in the next morning because you know the coach is going to show that to him. And Doug Peterson, former NFL quarterback, Morning Wag, who's been an offense coordinator and a great play caller over the years, they're going to show him that stuff, and it's not going to be pretty, and I'll be honest with you. A couple more of those games like that, you're going to see Nick Foles in there. I mean, you can't have this. This should be a deep playoff team. Reed and Roseman have done a great job of building this roster this season. They've done a great job. I don't see really very few weaknesses here. They've got to get themselves together. One thing we do need to mention, Alex Henry, that's four games with one field goal missed each. That's not acceptable. I don't know what's going on. I know they're saying it's a technique issue. He better get it going here because when it comes down to it, this is a guy they really depend on. He had a good rookie season.
Did miss a field goal in the beginning of the fourth quarter. He does definitely have to shore that up. All right, our last trip to the locker room after the Eagles defeat the Browns and go 1-0 on the season is cornerback Nnamdi Asamoah. What a difference a year makes for Nnamdi. He looked pretty sharp today and made a touchdown-saving play on that end-around to Travis Benjamin. Let's find out what he thinks about this defense moving forward.
You know, obviously, you feel like we have to play better overall, but it's good to come away with the win.
More press. I mean, everybody's been talking about it forever. You played pretty much the entire game up the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, there was a couple times when we played off. We were in certain coverages where we played off. I think the very first one when they caught a slant. It was a quick slant to 11. That was an off sort of coverage. Once we got away from that, we just got in their face. It was kind of like we started getting into a groove, and it felt good. It felt good.
DRC had a couple of big picks, and you had a touchdown-saving tackle. This is kind of what the cornerback situation we expected it to be last year. Do you feel particularly satisfying having made big plays and kept the team that had a lot of turnovers, had a lot of chances at scoring, kind of off the scoreboard by and large?
Yeah, I mean, it felt good. You know, I can't really tell you that there were too many mistakes that we made out there. I think communication was good. I think our coverage was good throughout the game. We were making plays on the ball, whether it was a breakup or interception. You saw guys running around and making plays. Everybody. Boykin was making some plays on the ball. So it was good.
Is this a carryover from this final four game? Okay.
All right, thanks, Nnamdi. Now, Adam, before we close things out, quick look around the rest of the league. 1 o'clock game's all done now, obviously. The big surprise, I think, the Redskins going into the Saints and taking out a victory 40-32. Anything else jump out at you?
No, that was a surprise. There's no question about it because you would think Robert Griffin III, hostile environment. You know, the Saints with the suspensions of the coaches and players, everything that's surrounding that team, you would think that the Saints would come in and really shut them down, but good job by RG3. Pierre Garçon hurt his foot today. X-rays were negative, but that doesn't mean he'll be ready to go against the Rams next week. But you know, this NFC East is really, really interesting so far. The Giants losing at home, totally did not expect that on Wednesday. We'll have to see. The Giants have a tough schedule coming up, and so do the Cowboys. I think they have to play Seattle next week.
And no other big upsets in week one except for maybe the Jets putting a stomping on the Bills.
They were home, though. They were home,
but it was still 48-28. That's a lot of points for an anemic offense.
Think about this. They had 22 sacks they gave up in the preseason, which is going to be some kind of record. Their offense was pitiful. This goes to show you, teams don't game plan in the preseason. Preseason means nothing. You just throw it out. You know, people were all worried about D'Amico Ryans is a great example. It's amazing how a complete opposite. He did not play well in the preseason.
I mean, this is a veteran. Right, he knows how to get his body ready for the regular season.
But again, facing a bad offense, but he did his job. He was tremendous today. The defense was tremendous. Joe Flacco, Torrey Smith was one of the better young receivers in the league. It was a tremendous deep threat. Got some decent tight ends. Offensive line's kind of shaky. But they got Ray Rice, one of the three best running backs of the league. McCoy versus Rice next week at the Link.
Very going to be definitely very interesting. And as we look back on this Eagles victory, the things that stand out, we've belabored the point plenty, but the defense, outstanding. The offense, a lot of work to do, cannot be that sloppy. 12 penalties combined, offense, defense, 5 turnovers. Michael Vick, 4 interceptions. I'd like to see LeSean McCoy get the ball a little bit more. But as we move forward, listen, the win column, that's got a 1. The loss column, 0. That's all that matters.
Here's the thing. When the Eagles beat the Rams last year in the first game where they did not play well, in fact, had Steven Jackson not gotten hurt, I think the Eagles would have lost. I never really felt that that team was good enough. I looked at the talent level of that team coming into the season. Then, of course, coming out of the lockout, really didn't know how good the team would be. This year, this roster is so strong. If guys do their job, carry their assignments in offense and defense, this should be clearly a playoff team, could win the NFC East. But it starts at quarterback. Yes, Vic persevered through a terrible game, one of the worst games of his career, drove the team down for the winning touchdown. But the bottom line for Michael Vick, this is unacceptable. And the other thing is the lack of discipline with the penalties. Carried out from the preseason bowl. That's the one thing you could take out of the preseason that's real. That cannot continue.
Who does that fall on?
Players, lack of discipline, and the coaches have to – coaches, you know what's got to happen? Guys got to be benched. If this happens game after game after game, one game it happened. Two games, you start thinking benching guys. Three games, guys got to sit.
And the problem is that most of these penalties, these 12 penalties, the majority of them were stupid penalties. They were holding calls. They were jumping off sides.
Unnecessary
there weren't a lot
roughness,
of...
Bo. When the guys jumped on after the big play, they jumped on the ball. I mean, lack
Andy,
of awareness.
You know, Andy talks about sometimes you have hustle penalties and sometimes
right,
you have
right.
It's omission, commission, and these were bad penalties.
Right, right. And the offensive line, you know, some of those plays you and I talked about might have been kind of ticky-tack, but again, when you have 12 penalties or more, I'm sorry. That's double digits. That's a lack of discipline. And, you know, Brian Rall, part of the reason why he lost his job, bad decisions, bad penalties. Rall got some playing time today. Guys have to bounce back. And again, when you see that tape of Monday morning, it's painful. I don't care if you won or not. So many corrections on offense, not that many on defense. I love the tackling today. When's the last time you came out of an Eagles game and said, boy, they tackled well? It's been a long time.
It's true. It really did sort of make it look twice.
Yeah. I got to think. I can't remember the last time this team tackled well. This is tremendous today.
Yeah, fast and physical, as Juan Castillo likes to say. Now, you talked about benching guys. I hesitate to ask this, but if Michael Vick continues to play at this level, at
question.
What point do you really – because Andy Reid said today he never considered bringing Nick Foles into the game. If he continues to play like this, if he plays like this against the Ravens next week,